Kent Bacchus has joined us today from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Washington, D.C. office. Kent is their expert when it comes to trade issues on the international arena, very closely working with our negotiators and others involved in talking with the Chinese about opening their market to U.S. beef. And we finally got the protocol, the rules of the road in place earlier this week from China, USDA publishing those rules, regulations. Kent, let's back up a little bit and talk about this fact that this has been a long journey since the December 2003 event of the cow that stole Christmas, the discovery of BSE in this country. That's when the Chinese shut our access to their market off. And we've been working ever since, it seems like, to get it restored.
Well, Ron, you're exactly right. There, a lot of us have been cutting our teeth on trade policy with the Chinese for many years over this beef issue. And, you know, we've been out of that market for 13 years because of the cow that stole Christmas, like you mentioned. So, you know, for the last several years, we've really been trying to educate the Chinese government and a lot of their representatives just how safe our product is, just so they can understand the links that we get to with vaccinations and with safety protocols and animal health, just so they understand how safe our animals are. When you look at China overall, you know, they have a lot of internal food safety concerns, and so one of the big things they look at is, you know, how safe are their imports coming in, because they always have some questions about food that's served in China. So really, this has been an education process for several years, and we have worked very closely with the USDA and have had a lot of help from our states and from our ranching families across the country who have been kind enough to open up their properties and open up their homes to these visitors so they could see exactly who is producing that beef. And, you know, this has been a priority for the past few administrations as well. This was something that was a priority for the Obama administration. But even in those 8 years, he wasn't able to get it over the line. But we're lucky that with President Trump, you know, he's been very successful in moving this forward along with his team. And, you know, this was the number one agenda item coming out of the 100-day action plan from Mar-a-Lago. And as a result, you know, our government's been working very closely to try to get this over the line. We're very excited about this latest development from China. On Monday, the U.S. government announced the final protocol that they were able to hammer out with the Chinese. And I think it's important that people recognize the opportunity that's there, but also there are several things that we need to keep in mind. When you look at some of the key points of this protocol, there will be an age restriction on the cattle that are eligible for this market. So there is a 30-month age restriction connected to BSE. There is also a traceability component. China is accepting what we refer to as a bookend traceability system that was proposed by USDA. So the animal will be tagged at its place of birth, and as a result, they'll be able to read that tag at the point of slaughter. And that is in case there ever is any concerns about BSE, if we ever have any kind of incidents, they know that we'll have the capability to really trace those animals. And when also China has also recognized our animal health status. That would be the negligible risk status that we have from the World Organization for Animal Health. And that's really strong because there are a lot of other veterinary restrictions that other countries may have that we won't because of our designation. But I think one of the other key points to remember is, you know, we got into this problem because of a BSE case. And one of the big things we urged our negotiators to do is make sure that we have some way to get back into this market. God forbid we ever have another BSE case. Part of this protocol includes a language that says that China reconfirms that its market will remain open if there is another confirmed case of BSE in the United States. So if we have another case, whether it's atypical or classical BSE, then China will still remain open to the U.S. as long as we retain our negligible risk status from the OIE. And that's very important because in the past we didn't have that and we were left out of that market for 13 years. And so when you also look overall at some of the other big points, as far as plant registrations are concerned, you know, most countries who are going to export to China, each plant has to be confirmed. Each individual packing facility has to be confirmed by the Chinese. We do not have that requirement. Instead, they recognize our equivalence agreement and will accept beef from plants that are already approved by FSIS, so the Food Safety Inspection Service. So that's also very important. Another important point is the product scope. What all are we going to be able to sell into China? We will be allowed to sell both chilled and frozen cuts, both bone-in and boneless. So that really opens up a lot of opportunities there. We'll also be able to send hearts, livers, kidneys, omasum, tongue, oxtail, some of the skirts, the hanging tenders, the cheek meats, head meats, a lot of other stuff that Americans simply don't find preferable now are going to be eligible for this Chinese market. So we're going to find a lot of really good opportunities there. But we also have to recognize that China has some restrictions on what we can send as well. And those restrictions really come not only on the age of the animal, but also on the use of certain technologies, specifically with hormones and beta agonists such as ractopamine. You know, these are technologies that we use commonly in our industry. They're very safe technologies. They've built in a lot of value add to our animals. But China has laws that prohibit the use of these technologies. They have a law against the use of hormones. They have a law against the use of ractopamine specifically. And so they're going to test for any levels of those prohibited substances or compounds at the port of entry. And if they test positive, then those shipments will be rejected and returned to the U.S. So that's pretty significant because you know, that means that it will restrict the overall number of head of cattle that we can send. Some of the, you know, there will have a smaller number of eligible cattle at first. But, you know, because this is a testing procedure, we think that our market's going to adjust to this. We're going to be able to really capitalize on the opportunities in China. But this is not going to be an overnight market.
Kent, based on the protocol that has been released by USDA, the rules that the Chinese say they've got to have to accept U.S. beef into their marketplace, there is some worry by some folks within our cattle industry that this is going to make our beef more expensive. It's going to be an extra cost on behalf of our cattle producers to get cattle ready and eligible for China. How's that going to impact our ability, you think, to successfully penetrate this market?
We certainly recognize that the cost of production are going to be higher when it comes to producing beef for China because there's going to only be a small percentage of our cattle that are eligible at first. And so that's obviously going to mean that our prices are going to be higher. But you have to also keep in mind that China has a very diverse market, and they have a very large market, a lot of unmet potential. We don't know yet who all we're going to be able to sell beef to, but we know that there's a lot of that high-end demand that's being unmet in China, and that's really where we're going to focus. Even if we didn't have these restrictions in place, we're still going to be the highest-cost beef into that market because we're the highest-quality beef in that market. We are a high-cost grain-finished product, and we're that way in most markets, and that's fine because those are the customers we're going after. But as the market develops, we're able to really develop our supply chains and our opportunities into China, I think we're going to see those opportunities grow. I mean, China represents 1.4 billion people with a middle class larger than the entire U.S. population. They become the second largest beef importer in the world. They're about to surpass the United States on that. And so there's a lot of opportunities that are going to present themselves here. While this is a smaller percentage of our cattle, there's still going to be a lot of opportunities that develop in years to come. So, you know, with China, we've always used the phrase cautiously optimistic just because it's a hard market to predict and it's a hard government to work with, quite frankly. But we have a protocol in place that gets our foot in the door and it allows us to start to understand where will be most advantageous for us and probably some areas where we don't want to pursue. You also have to keep in mind that we've been banned in China for 13 years. It's been illegal to purchase U.S. beef in China. We know that there's stuff that's gone through the gray channel, through the black market, but now we're going through the front door. And it's going to take time to build that consumer confidence and to develop those supply chains. But if you look at some of the other Asian countries around China where we were banned completely, you look at Korea in 2008 when there were almost a million people turned out in the streets of Seoul to protest U.S. beef coming into Korea, we're now the largest import source of beef in Korea, even with other restrictions in place. You know, Korea is now a $1 billion market for us. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. When you look at Japan, we have other restrictions that are in place there, but they are our biggest export market. There's a lot of unmet potential. And now that we have our foot in the door, the market's going to be able to really work that out. So there are a lot of folks who are trying to predict what's going to happen. And I think we just have to let the market develop. We have to gather the intel. We have to do a good job branding our product. And when we do that, I think we're going to see China become one of the best markets for U.S. beef.
Kent, with the protocol that was released earlier this week by USDA, is this really everything that we need now to be able to successfully prepare and get our cattle qualified so that we can send beef to the Chinese?
I think that we certainly have a lot of the directions, a lot of the cues, the market cues, to be able to start providing beef into China. I think we're going to see small volumes in the first year or so. And then once our industry starts to prepare and starts to really plan for the Chinese market, I think we'll see a lot of growth there. But with these protocols, there's also implementation that has to go in place. It's going to take some time for some of the certification through USDA. And so we're going to have to develop on our end, too. So it's a slow process, but in the long term, this is going to be a really good opportunity.
Kent, it seems like the programs that USDA has indicated can be used to offer this source verification, the traceability requirements for the Chinese. These are programs that we're kind of familiar with already. Cattle producers have used them for age verification, especially for markets like Japan when they wanted cattle or beef from animals that were 20 months of age or younger.
Yes, we have age restrictions in a lot of markets already. And while that's not science-based, it is a reality that we have to deal with. We have an age restriction, even though it's self-imposed, in Korea. We have a 30-month age restriction in Japan. We have a 30-month age restriction on the beef that we send to Taiwan. There are a lot of countries where we face this. We also have other countries where they had that restriction and then lifted it because they wanted our product and they realized how safe it was. Hong Kong is a primary example of that. Hong Kong, lifted that restriction a few years ago, and as a result, they become a top five export market for us. We have to be patient. We have to work with the scientific bodies within these countries, and we have to prove to them that we don't need those restrictions in place. And I think once they see our ability to meet their demands and to provide them with a safe product, then they will lift those restrictions. I'm confident of that in the other Asian countries as well. But it does take time and it takes patience. We're going to have to keep doing everything above board and keep producing the same product that we produce every day.
All righty, Kent, appreciate your time. Kent Bacchus of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's D.C. office. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.